Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Studio G and the Omega Leadership Series. This week's show, we are focusing on the Omega Leadership characteristic of poise and talking a little bit this evening about two topics, what it means to lean on reeds and the use of metaphors, focusing our attention from Lori's book, Jesus in Blue Jeans, for our study tonight. And Lori Beth has captured and coined and written about the Omega Leader for over a decade. How Jesus recruited, managed, and led his team of 12 is our model of what Omega Leadership is all about. So we take a look at both the Alpha and the Beta styles of management and how Jesus added the Omega principles to the mix, and thus we have what we term as the Omega Leader. So thank you for joining the show this evening. We are excited that you're here. In the studio, we have with us Lori Beth Jones. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Hello.
We have Alisa Holston representing the Education Pillar. Welcome, Alisa.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And we have Vicki Arteaga representing the Business Pillar. Welcome, Vicki.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well. It's been an interesting week. We have launched Lori Beth's new LoriBethJones.com website, mm-hmm. and we are thrilled that that thing is up on the airwaves or the internet waves, whatever you call it, and excited to continue moving forward the concepts and principles around Lori's teachings, and very excited to be here tonight and focus a little bit more on Omega Leaders. So, Lori, we're going to have you take the stage and just kind of set this topic this evening. Again, we're looking at the principle of poise and how the Omega Leader shows up in these two areas of leaning on reeds and the use of metaphors.
Right. We'll start with reeds. This is one of the simplest, shortest chapters. In fact, these two chapters are very short, which is why Shelley decided to combine them, and yet I think they're two of the most powerful concepts in the book, because to lean on reeds, the background of the story is that a young king is making a compromise to avoid battle, and the prophet tells him, this reed will pierce the hand of anyone who leans on it. In other words, he tries to warn him that he cannot trust the deal he is making because he will be pierced by it. And that imagery really stuck with me because I just thought, you know, where am I leaning on reeds? And what's going to pierce me? And then it goes further to say, they forsook the Lord at the Sea of Reeds. And it's like a sea of reeds would be a whole group of false promises or false gods or false relationships, that it's so easy to get into a marsh. A sea of reeds is really a marsh, and to get into the swamp and forget about the rock that is the Lord. And then in Isaiah, it says, if you do not stand by me, you will not stand at all. And I love that. So I think it's really important that we remember the rock of our strength and that we are centered in poise in Christ, and other people can steal our thunder, they can push our buttons, they can do all sorts of things, and so many of us are in reaction a lot of times to other people's impressions of us. And I was reading, and I wrote it down again from the book, it says, to lean on a reed is to choose to believe a lie. To lean on a reed is to allow others to define your self-worth. To lean on a reed is to confuse anyone else with God. So when you see someone say, oh, that, you know, this relationship is the center of my being, if it's not Christ, then they're leaning on a reed. Now, maybe it'll hold for a while. There's something about straw, and certain reeds can support you at a certain level, but if you put too much weight on them, they're going to collapse. And Jesus knew what was in the heart of men, and he didn't need anybody to tell him who they were, so he didn't really lean on his team he, in the end, it was him and God. And even then, he felt at one point forsaken. So leadership can be a lonely place, but it's very important not to lean too much on other people for our sense of self-worth, our nourishment, even our sense of spiritual stability. You know, when the leader falls in the church and then the whole church falls apart, well, they were leaning on a reed. You know, so I know that there's a lot of questions here. I see them mounting up. So go ahead. Who wants to go first?
Is this concept, Lori, almost a metaphor in itself?
Yes.
Do not lean on reeds?
Yes.
Very interesting. I don't know. It just kind of struck me as you were talking. It's a metaphor itself.
It's powerful. And you started to allude to it a little bit that, you know, as we think about the reeds, I guess tie that into to leadership. We're talking about the Omega leader. And how does leaning on reeds have a – obviously, there are some obvious implications, but could you be a little more explicit in terms of the implications for leadership?
Well, I think to lean on a reed is to allow others to define your self-worth as a leader. And in this particular case from which the original concept for this chapter came, the king was making a – he was negotiating a deal. He was making a compromise that was really compromising his values and his faith. And the prophet said, this reed is going to pierce your hand. And it turns out that the guy did renege on the deal, and people were slaughtered. So I think as a leader, many times we are called upon to compromise something so that it feels like it's supporting us. This deal is going to be a good deal, but maybe it's really not. And if we lean too much on people for, you know, surrounding ourselves with yes men or yes women, that's definitely leaning on a reed because you're not getting the truth, the unvarnished truth of the situation, which the truth is going to set you free, not a sea of reeds.
What besides leaning on the wrong people would be some common reeds that a leader might lean on?
Let's open it up.
Well, you mentioned fear and also, you know, you mentioned also being surrounded by people that is only adulating you or telling you that how bright you are or how, you know, I studied political science when I was at the university, and I think that's the main problem that a politician has, you know, the people, and not only politicians, I mean, the artists and the, you know, movie stars, something. All the stories I've seen on the news about people that are young and then falling into drugs and all that, most of that is because of the people that surround them don't stand up to question their judgment or to just put a mirror in front of them. Or, and I think it's the worst enemy. You know, just being surrounded by yes. people that, just people or people that are invisible, that they're only there to like open your way or clean your path. Clean, I say clean with parentheses or no, how do you say those?
Quotes.
Oh, quotes. because really they're not cleaning your path, or if they're cleaning your path, they're cleaning your path to fail.
Right.
For failure.
Right.
I was going to say one thing that came to my mind. I think sometimes reeds can be past accomplishments. You're leaning, relying too heavily on past accomplishments.
Yep.
Or I think also as a leader or part of a team, relying on effort. Because effort is commendable, but it's not the same as results. And so one can put forth a lot of effort in the wrong direction, be spinning their wheels, not getting traction. And while effort is commendable, it's not the same thing as accomplishment. I think part of implicit in being a leader is accomplishing something.
That's very good. You're tough, man. That's...
And sometimes we lean on tradition a little bit.
Yes, yes.
Can also be a false reed. Sometimes keeps things in a swampy place.
Yeah. Elisa, you had a really great question in the pre-show, and I think you need to ask it now about the elements.
Well, as always, I'm the element queen. What reads, you know, is there a correlation between what reeds different elements might rely upon? In other words, are there reeds that a fire would be more have a tendency to lean on, earth, water, wind?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to open it up for discussion, but I can think immediately that the reed of a fire would be praise and recognition.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to follow that, and that can lead to their doom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the water is going to be personal approval of others. They're going to really care about the feelings of others, so that would be their reed. The wind's reed would be, I guess, attention. They'll do whatever it takes to get attention. And then the earth's reed, what would the earth's reed be? Analysis, paralysis, I suppose.
Yeah, getting lost in fact.
Yeah. Choosing to, or traditions, the status quo or inertia could be also earth,
mm-hmm.
earth modes.
Yeah, I could see the traditions for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're using reed as a way to define a lot of stumbling blocks or
false promises,
weaknesses or challenges,
false notions.
Is there a time taking it back to the elements? Is there a time when the different elements would be more likely to kind of fall back on those reeds? Like, is there a time when a fire is going to be tempted to seek that affirmation and that recognition? Is there a time when that wind is going to want that attention more than others? Are there times that maybe the different elements can predict their temptation to rely on the reeds, and maybe that can help give us insight to avoid leaning on the reeds?
Well, I think that times of fear would be one, and then times of great success would be another. Because usually in times of challenge, I'm seeing the elements positively rising to the challenge. But when there's transition or fear, people are going to fall back on what was familiar. And I think those are danger times.
Before we move into, we're about halfway through tonight, so we need to move into the use of metaphor as an Omega leader. But maybe just in closing this segment, Laura, you could address this final place in your thinking here that Jesus did not lean on reeds.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think he positioned it that way?
Well, because he knew what was in the heart of men, and that in the end, God is going to be faithful, and people may not be. You know, hopefully they will be, but you can't count on them to be there for you, even with Jesus. They weren't there for him, except, of course, for the women and John.
Maybe this is a good transition into the next topic, which is the metaphors, but Vicky and I were discussing reeds, and I was trying to explain to her, not knowing the Spanish word for reeds, and trying to explain to her what reeds were just kind of conceptually. And I said, well, you know, they look like a branch or a twig, but they're not as strong as a branch or a twig. So they provide deceiving support.
Right. They're hollow on the inside.
They're hollow on the inside, so they look as though they will sustain you, but if you try and sustain yourself upon them, you will fall.
Mm-hmm. And they also really can pierce your hand if you hit it just right, because if they are positioned in the earth just fully upright, they can be as strong as a sword. So, it's really powerful to think about that. And I'd like, before we transition, I'd like our listeners to be thinking about these two questions that are in the book, Jesus in Blue Jeans. Where are you not standing fully upright? And another question is, what are the reeds that you're leaning on? And as we go into metaphor, I was going through, I like to read, here's a confession, I like to read gossip rags, you know, surf the celebrity websites. What are they up to? And they had one about people who, what do they look like now? And it showed, you know, people in their 20s, of course, glorious, and then people not so good looking in their 50s and 60s, although I thought some of them still looked good. And they were talking about Kathleen Turner, who was gorgeous and quite beautiful. And now, of course, she's had her battles with alcoholism, and her face shows it, and she's gained weight, like many of us have. And they asked her about it, and she said, you know, I never saw myself as a sex symbol, so I don't feel like I've lost that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, she's probably stronger in her self-image than someone who leaned on the reed of beauty, which is going to fade. So I thought that was a really good good metaphor, particularly for women today in our society, young girls especially, you know, that are all caught up in their looks. That's a reed.
It's also an insightful example as well, because her reed might not have been the obvious reed, which would have been her beauty, but obviously there's some reeds going on if she struggled with alcoholism.
Right.
There's some reeds that let her down that sent her into the downward spiral of alcoholism.
There's a listener in the chat room that a question has come in, Lori Beth. How do we balance leaning on the body of Christ, which they're saying are reeds, mm-hmm. and leaning on God? Aren't there times that we need people to be the hand of God for us? How do we discern the difference?
That's a very, very good question. Yes, we cannot live without one another, so we're not... I'm perhaps emphasizing too heavily the self-sustaining faith of being one person with God. I think when we know it's from Christ, we will feel lifted up and we will have been at the end of our rope, and people will be the hand of God. And that's faith, because God will send people to us to be his hands and his feet and his arms and his embrace. So how do you know? The difference is if you are putting all your weight on that person, you know, I expect you to come do this for me, and then they don't, then in a way God is giving you a little, doing a favor for you, saying, don't lean too heavily on this person. And it's been my experience that the people that you least think will show up can surprise you, and the people that you most thought would be there many times disappear. So it's all God's way of saying, you know, I am the source. Just remembering God is the source of kindness, and when you encounter a lack of kindness, then God is your source to go to.
It's a great question, the balance there. Awesome question. Thank you, listener, for asking that question. And I believe her name's Lori as well. So
all right.
That's interesting.
Welcome, Lori.
Did you have another comment?
Yeah, just on the same token, you know, the Bible says when two or more are joined together in my name, so therefore he fills that gap of the weed, you know, the inside of the weed.
Mm-hmm.
So make it...
The reed, yeah.
The reed, I'm sorry, the
yeah.
reed. What is it?
The reed.
The reed. So when two or more get together in my name, so if he's in that mix, then he makes that thing strong.
Yeah.
It's not that reed anymore.
That is beautiful. Very good insight.
Yeah. Good image. All right, Lori, take us into metaphor, how the Omega Leader masters the use of metaphor.
There's some phrase that says something, something, or what's a metaphor, and I can't remember the first part of it, what's a metaphor? A metaphor is when you use like or as. It's right. What is it? That's a simile. We have here an English teacher, former English teacher. Yes?
A metaphor is a form of figurative language where you don't use like or as, but you more describe it like in your book you describe like I'm your refuge, I'm your strong tower, I'm your strength. And so you give a visual picture, a verbal picture, and you're comparing, you know, an object to something else symbolically without using like or as. So instead of saying you are like a tower, you're saying you are a strong tower.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, now we have the definition.
Yes.
All those years of education. We're not reeds. Well, Aristotle said the greatest thing by far is to be master of the metaphor. And Jesus did this all the time in comparing heaven to a mustard seed, or to a gate, or to a banquet, or to a farmer sowing a seed, giving pictures, because the mind thinks in pictures. And so great communicators are able to visually communicate through metaphor and simile. This is like this. This is like this. Because it teaches the mind to bilateralize, I guess, and then strengthen the concept.
So apparently, you know, in churches or synagogues or mosques or wherever you attend, your choice of faith there, often the message is centered around the lectionary or the text, and that's read, but then the leader or the minister or the bishop brings the message. And I think it's a powerful way that the Omega leader also, you know, as we're talking about this principle of poise, I think it's one of the reasons that we wanted to bring this tonight and talk about it is it's a powerful way that I believe an Omega leader is distinctly different than someone that is not necessarily understanding the principles that you're proposing here in your work. And so maybe you could address for us a little bit about poise and the use of metaphor. I think a lot of times we try to speak over the audience or we try to speak at people, but this use of how an Omega leader takes, how Jesus the Omega leader took this and really, really unwrapped it in front of the Pharisees, in front of the leaders, in front of the common people, I think is a powerful lesson for us this evening in looking at how we as an organization and individuals are helping people to develop these principles.
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly the metaphor that has been the picture that I want for my life in ministry is Ezekiel 47, about the stream that begins in the temple underneath the altar and it gets wider and deeper as it makes its way to the sea. And then there's fruit for food and leaves for healing on the trees, and there's fishermen on both sides of the river. There's fish of many kinds. That, to me, that chapter speaks more about the gospel and the power of God and the purpose of God than almost anything else that I can think of visually as a metaphor. Mm. And as I've been studying Ezekiel and writing the church leadership programs that I'm working on, he was really good. I mean, his pictures were powerful of the wind and the valley of the dry bones and the wheel within a wheel and these visions that they're almost otherworldly. Well, they are otherworldly, and yet God gave him this type of metaphor to convey a message to people who were in despair.
So I think the important thing about that metaphor is linked to the poise is the leader is poised enough to understand where the other person is or where the other person is coming from and what metaphor is going to make sense for that person. And because you tell me, for example, a metaphor of a field that I'm not accustomed to, and it'll be over my head. Like a reed, exactly. That I was asking Lisa, so, but what is that? What is that? It didn't make sense. But once I knew the word, which is caña in Spanish, I'm like, oh, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. So being poised, I think, is being centered, but the center is also recognizing where you are and where is that person coming from, and then how do you bridge that gap with images, right?
I actually have an example of that right now as we're kind of discussing speaking of metaphors, the shifting sand and smoke and mirrors of school budgets right now. Having to explain to my staff why certain schools in our district received certain things that our site didn't, and having to explain that to them and in such a way as for them to not take it as an issue of equity or fairness. And I use the example of, take a family, and I just used examples that they could relate to. A family, you know, the oldest child gets the car, but by the time the youngest child comes around, there's no more money for a car. You know? So we were the younger child in this case, you know, and it just was. So taking that and being able to explain it in those terms made it a little bit more palatable and comprehensible to them because there were terms with which they could relate, as were many of Jesus' parables. He took things and put them in terms with which his people could relate to. At the same time, I was thinking about the example you gave in Ezekiel, and, you know, the Bible is so much metaphor. Scripture is so much metaphor. Some people would argue that it's 99% metaphor. And is there a danger of being too metaphorical so that you lose your followers and they get lost in the in the music of the message, perhaps, or the beauty of the message, the poetry of the message, and overlook the symbolism and the implication of the message?
Well, I'm a poet by training, so I don't think you can ever get too poetic and lose an audience. I'm sure there's earths who would say, oh, yeah, that can happen really easily. I think Jesus, in a way, was a metaphor for God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the ultimate. Mm-hmm. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Mm-hmm. And so that's a really profound, multi-layered question, which you are famous for asking. It's all in the metaphor. So I would like to challenge our listeners to begin to use metaphors and similes more often. This is like this. But it calls for an imagination, and I often talk about my grandfather who inspired me to look for patterns. And we would go on walks, and he'd pick up a rock, and he'd say, what do you see in this rock? And I'd say, a rock? He'd say, well, look more closely. What else do you see? And I'd say, a rock? And he'd say, don't you see the cowboy hat? And then he'd point out the little veins of the rock, and then when he pointed them out, it was like, yeah. He said, now if you turn it upside down, now what do you see? A rock with a cowboy hat in it. What else do you see? Don't you see the chicken wing right there? And so it became a game that we played on walks all the time, and so I began to, he taught me pattern recognition, which I think helped me become a writer. This is like this. This looks like this. And many times in explaining in my consulting, I will end up using a metaphor to help explain huge concepts that I'm remembering one or two companies that were starting to merge, and then at the last minute, one of the companies just fell out. And so I was talking to the CEO, and I said, what is the logo of the company that fell out? And he pointed to it, and it was a flame. And I said, and what's the logo of your company? And he pointed to it on the wall, and it was a tree with roots. And I said, well, now why would a flame be afraid of a tree with roots?
Mm.
Why was it attracted? It saw fuel, but then it got closer and saw that the tree was bigger than it, and it was afraid of pulling out. So the whole elements really are a metaphor.
Absolutely.
For personality, and I think that's the power of them in many ways, is the visuals that they give. So I know that there's... Vicki, you're wanting to say something. We have 1 minute.
Yeah, just as a leader, in order to be able to communicate with metaphors, I think a leader has to invest time in getting to know the people they're leading.
Yes.
Therefore, they can look for the at the right time, for the right words, for the right images to communicate with.
Right. Jesus said, you know, heaven is like a farmer. He didn't say heaven is like a triage specialist in the
equation.
In the equation of, you know, Wall Street. He really talked so simply that it really offended the religious people who wanted it to be so arcane and so difficult that other people couldn't understand it. And people have been killed for trying to make the gospel understandable for the masses, including Jesus.
We have just a couple of minutes, Lori, and 60 seconds. And I know this isn't very much time, and we didn't prepare you for this, but is there any metaphor in what's going on with the Terry Jones situation and the possibly burning of the Quran that's facing kind of a leadership issue? You see any parallels there?
Well, I was just reading that Donald Trump has offered to buy the land from the group that owns it, that wants to build the mosque on it, for 25% more than that they paid for it. And I thought, now, isn't that a fascinating use of funds? Because he's saying he thinks it's going to explode way beyond whatever they're thinking. So I would say it's incendiary. I would say that it goes to value. And certainly we need to really think about What do we stand for? What do we want to represent? And also, what's just good judgment and common sense for the victims of that? So Godspeed to those who are deciding it, and yay for Donald Trump for giving his resources to try to find a solution. So readers, what are you doing tonight? Listeners, what are you doing tonight and today when you listen to help solve a situation that might be catching on fire? Blessings to you all. Thank you for listening. Good night.